Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for honoring our gathering with your presence. We're very grateful. We worship you not only with words, but as you said to us, with our hearts, with our lives, with our conduct, strength, time, money, resources. We put everything on the altar. We leave nothing out. We enter your word now with the honor, the reverence that it deserves. We're so grateful you've given us this wonderful document called the Bible, where your infinite wisdom has been compressed into human words, coding into this Bible your plan for the church, your plan for every individual life. Everyone has a part of his life that is written in this word. For that, we're truly grateful. As we come to share the word now, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. In particular, I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my ears and my heart and my ears and my tongue, that I would indeed speak as I should as an oracle of God. And pray the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, and that includes mine. Causing wills to become more humble as we hear your word. Minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge. Emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray as we speak that the power of the Holy Ghost will be released in great measure to follow the words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, for you sent your word and healed them. Power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men as they hear the word, so they can become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, by faith receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual life, agreed with me in faith and said, amen. I have a very important message I want to share with us. In these last few weeks and months, God's been giving me some messages that are bordering on conduct and morality. And today I have another one the Lord's given me, and I call it Overcoming Sin by Revelation. And I'm going to start from the Garden of Eden. I often share this at marriage ceremonies, but this is extremely important now. We all know the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And God did something strange when you think about it a little bit. He put two trees in the middle of the garden. The King James says midst, but if you look at the modern translation, it says middle, where they could attract attention. That's why they were in the middle. There were trees all over, but he deliberately planted two of them in the middle of the garden. One tree was a tree of life, and the other tree was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then God gave a very strange command. This was ever before Eve was created. He gave the command to Adam, and he said, you are free to eat of all the trees in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was one of the two trees in the middle of the garden. Come on. Why did he do that? A strange command. God was trying to attract attention to the tree of life.
Of all the trees in the garden, he puts two in the middle, and then he says, don't eat of one. Yes, that's telling you that eat of the other one. I won't put it in the middle of the garden if it's not important. If it was just that I didn't want you to eat of the tree of knowledge of good, I would have just put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, in the middle alone, and I said, don't touch that one. And then touch all the others. Hello, somebody. Or don't eat of it. And it is a tragedy of human history that Adam and Eve missed it. Because what God actually was, what God intended, and that's why he put it in the middle of the garden, was for them to eat of the tree of life first. Had they eaten of the tree of life, they would have gotten the knowledge of good and evil by revelation and not by experience. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. Overcoming sin by revelation. I've said this many times over the years, particularly to our younger people. I was a 21 year old boy when I got saved and when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I got saved in Nigeria during my youth corps in Cross River State in a place called Ecom, and then immediately I finished my youth corps, I went to England. I finished my youth corps in June and I traveled in September, you know, to go and start my postgraduate studies in Imperial College, October 1, 1979. I left Nigeria about September 20 something, you know. They just built Murtala Muhammad Airport. It was spanking new, I still remember. Spanking new. You know. And we were all so proud. Don't let me get off into that. We were all so proud of Nigeria. We had one of the funkiest airports in Africa. Nobody had anything like that. It was just like the airport in Amsterdam. You know, we also, you know, don't let me get off my message. God will help Nigeria. God is helping Nigeria. That's a story that can make you cry. But anyway, I still remember, that's why. You know, and it was just brand new. They just opened it. You know, and I went to England. And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit in England. I told you a story the other day. But the point is this. I was just a kid. Come on. You know, I had temptations all over me. Because I used to go to England before. I used to go on summer holidays. You know, 2-3 years before, every summer I went on, you know, I went to England and would go to nightclubs and go out with girls. And so you can imagine me just newly born again, just dumped into that. It wasn't like now where you maybe like scripture passage where I was like, where are you? And shout on you. You know, I had nobody breathing over my neck. I was free to do what I liked. I was in the postgraduate hall. I wasn't even an undergraduate. And I was so young, you know, most of my age mates were still in undergraduate. But I was in postgraduate, you know, because of the mercy of God, you know, helping me. You know, I was postgraduate. So the postgraduate hall was free. Boys and girls, you know, married couples were staying there. You know, you could do what you liked. You know, and but God helped me. God had mercy on me. You know, I was sorely tempted. Not tempted, sorely tempted. Girls were all over. All over. You know, and of course, old habits die hard. You know, old habits die hard. But you see, that's when I knew this born again thing was true. There was something inside me that had changed. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to overcoming sin by revelation. And I'm going to tie it to the Garden of Eden in a minute. There was something inside me. See, my born again experience was not a religious experience. I was truly born again. My nature on the inside had changed, and it had affected even my mind, my will, and my emotions to a degree. Not fully, but you know, it had a serious impact. I remember I met a girl, you know, in the Nigerian embassy. In those days, when you go to England, you have to go and register in the Nigerian embassy with your passport. So I went to the American embassy, no, Nigerian embassy to register. Ah, this is a nice looking girl. And she asked me some questions. We got to talk. You know how it is. You know, she was in Oxford and I was in London. You know, and she told me and all that and said, oh, you know, yeah, I don't know how we got there. It's just, can we go out? Do you know we went out? You know, I gave her a date. I took a black cab, picked her up somewhere, went to a nightclub that I used to go to back in the old days. You know, I'm telling you a true story here. You know, and it's overcoming sin by revelation. And I sat down with her, you know, in the club. You know, what would you like to drink? You know, she had a drink. You know, me, give me ginger ale. Ginger ale. Didn't take, you know, usually before it used to be gin and lime. You know, you mix it so that it's sweet. You know? Let's start talking. You want to dance? No. Talk. You know, the hours went by. You know, didn't touch her. Didn't dance. The things that a kid of my age would normally do. You know, I just... There was just something inside. You know, the Holy Ghost. Now, I know it was. You know, it was... I said, don't start this. Because you can't finish it. And she was wondering, what's wrong with this guy? You know. After some time, I said to her, I said, look, I'm a Christian. Can you imagine... in a nightclub. I said, I'm born again now, and you know, it's a real experience. I said, I used to do all of these things, but you know, I said, here we are, you know. I said, I don't feel like, you know, I just like to tell you about Jesus. And so we talked about Jesus for a while. And she listened to me and humored me, you know, smiled, talked politely. And after a while it was time, I said, look, let me get you home. So we went out, you know, I stopped a cab, put her in a cab, cab took her home. I went home, you know, back to my hostel by myself. She came to see me a few days later, you know. And when they called from downstairs, because it was a postgraduate hall, you know, they had this telephone intercom service. So they called and said, you know, X, Y, and Z is downstairs waiting for you, you know, and she wants to come up. Can she come up? And I was alone in my room. And this was London. Nobody looks at, nobody cares. Nobody's going to ask you any question. It's a postgraduate school, for heaven's sake. Yeah. The Holy Ghost said, don't let her come. So I said, tell her to wait. She shouldn't come. I will meet her downstairs. So I, you know, went downstairs. She was there. So we took a walk, you know, to Wimpy. You know, there's Wimpy, there's McDonald's, you know, there was Wimpy back in those days. You know, and we sat down, had a hamburger or something, and we talked again about Jesus. How, you know, and I said, as a Christian, I said, this relationship cannot continue, you know, unless, you know, and I told her about church, gave her a tract. And she said, well, she's not a Christian and she doesn't really believe in all those things. And, you know, but we can be friends, you know. I said, okay, that's fine. You know, and she, and I've never seen her again since till to today. But there's something in that story I want to bring out to us. You see, God told Adam and Eve they should eat. He didn't say explicitly, but that's what he meant. That they should not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but they should eat of the tree of life. Sadly, they ate of it. And when they ate of it, they lost the glory of God. You know, you read in the Bible, you know, you don't really get all these things, get it by revelation, you know, because they were covered with the glory of God. So when Eve saw Adam, what she saw was this light. He was naked, but the light covered his nakedness. The Bible says God is clothed with light as with a garment. That's how Adam and Eve were clothed. So Adam was seeing this light. He would see the hands and the fingers, but it was all covered with light. And Eve would, you know, see her husband, and they were both covered with light. So the minute Eve ate of that fruit of that tree, the light went off. That's why they saw they were naked. And they became vulnerable to the elements. Because they didn't have clothing, you know, like you and I have a suit or anything. They had the light. The light covered them and they were fine. And that's why the Bible says, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. There was a short circuit. And the glory of God went out. And they were ashamed. They now had this knowledge that you're naked and you're not supposed to be naked. They were before, but they were covered with light, so it didn't matter. So they now try to, like we all do, try and use physical things to solve a spiritual problem. They went to go and cut leaves of the tree and try to cover their nakedness with the leaves of the tree. Long story short, God comes down. Adam, where are you? The guy's hiding. What are you hiding for? Well, I mean, covered in light all this time. See, God used to come down every day. Yeah, God too was light. They too were light. Light and light were walking together in the garden, in fellowship. So because the light had gone, Adam went to hide himself. God said, where are you? And then, you know, you've done what I told you not to do. Okay, come. Both of you, just come out here. You know, you got big problems. But I'm not going to leave you. So God kills an animal, covers them with the skin of the animal, you know, and the story continues. And that's the sad story of the human race. And, you know, revelation is when God allows you to see, not by experience, but by revelation, the end of sin, so that sin will no longer be attractive. You see, Satan always tries to make sin attractive. If you look at the evolution of sin, look at look at James chapter 1, quickly, put it to me on the board, on the screen. James chapter 1, and look at verse 13. You see the evolution of sin. What I thought of when I say evolution, how sin progresses. Now, he says, let no man say, I didn't hear you, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with what? Neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14. But every man, I didn't hear you. Don't you never say, including you. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and what? What does the word entice mean? It means something that is drawing you. An allure. Something that is it looks interesting. It looks like something to be desired. That's the word entice. To entice a person is to create something that will attract the person and want the person to partake of it. Hello? This is a very important evolution. I'm going to explain as I go along. He's drawn away of his own lust. So the devil puts a desire inside the will, the mind, the emotions, and the physical body, you know, to draw you out, to make you desire. And then he entices, ah, this thing is nice. You're going to enjoy it. Now, next verse. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's why the law of sin and death. Sin blocks you from God, and then the consequence is death. But the point here is this. If Eve and Adam had eaten of the tree of life, they would, by revelation in their mind, have seen that the tree of knowledge is not attractive. It would not have attracted them. You know why? They would have had the knowledge of good and evil by revelation, like God does. And then they would not only have had it, they would have had the power and the strength to choose good and refuse evil. God has the knowledge of good and evil, but God's not evil. So the knowledge of good and evil was not what was evil. It was the way they got it. They got it by the senses rather than by revelation. Now, the point here is this. God wants you and I, now we're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is now the tree of life. We now go to the tree of life and we draw the life of God into our spirits and from our spirits into the soul, body, and circumstances using the word of God and praying in tongues and all of that. And God wants our minds to be enlightened with the knowledge of good and evil, so we can see the folly of sin, so that when you are tempted, and we will be tempted, but you will see the folly of it by revelation and you will not partake of it. That is how you overcome sin, by revelation. Revelation is knowledge that comes to your mind from the Holy Spirit through your human spirit, and it shines on your mind. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. That's what I call the Bible textbook definition of revelation knowledge. For God, I didn't hear you, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? Look at this screen. There's a projector down here. That projector is shining light on the screen. That's why you're able to read those words. That screen is like your mind. The projector here is like your spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, giving the pictures which are coming from the computer upstairs. That's like the Holy Spirit. This projector here is like your spirit. So a picture is being transmitted from the computer upstairs through the projector onto the screen. In the same way, the Holy Spirit transmits knowledge onto your spirit, and your spirit now puts it on your mind. And that's how you get revelation knowledge. That's why the Bible calls it light. The light of life. Now, when you get knowledge that way, it is pure knowledge. It is from God. It is superior knowledge from anything you can get in by your experience. Amen. That's the difference between what we call sense knowledge and revelation knowledge. The knowledge we normally get in our fallen human state is through these five physical senses. Everything I know naturally, I read in a book, or I, you know, drove a car, you know, I learned, you ride a bicycle. Everything you know, you how to cook in the kitchen, you learned it by using your physical senses. The knowledge came to your mind by reading, by physical practice of the thing. That's how you got to know it. But there is another level of knowledge that you can get without the physical senses that comes from the Holy Spirit. That knowledge is superior. And that knowledge gives you an edge over people who can only get knowledge through the physical senses. That knowledge now shows you, oh, Kasale Mengara. You know what the Bible says? It says the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. In order to make this thing real and practical, I'm going to use two examples. I'm going to use David and then I'm going to use Joseph. David is the negative example. Joseph is the positive one. Now, look at what happened. I've actually shared this not too long ago. David sees a young girl having her bath from his balcony. He's at home when he should be at the war front. When he sees her, a desire comes into his mind and his body to sleep with her. Now, that thing, had David been in a more spiritually strong position, yes, he would have seen that, but the Holy Spirit would have shone in his mind at that time the fact that this thing you are going to do, he would have shown you things to come. You will lose 4 sons, and you will almost lose your kingdom, and the kingdom will be divided into 2, and even the son that survives will do the same thing you are doing. If he had seen it by revelation, he wouldn't have done it. But at that time, his mind was dark. Revelation, because of his spiritual negligence, and he was not in a praying position at that point. He normally does, but because at that particular point in time, he was in a spiritually vulnerable position, there was no light on the screen. So all he could see was what he could see. Because there was no light. I mean, if David could see, the only thing David was thinking about then was pleasure. Just a fleeting pleasure that he thought would be harmless. Oh well, you know, she's a nice girl, I like her, she'll come, you know, and after that I won't do it to anybody because she has a husband and I just leave her alone and that will be it. It's not as simple as that. But he would have known that by revelation. Had the lights been shining, what happened to me when I was 21 years old with that girl, you know, and I was not the only one, there were many like that during that year when I was in England, all kinds, you know, that came against me. I always thought about the end. Somehow the Holy Spirit helped me. I would just see, this is folly. You don't try this. Destroy you before you start. It was that revelation that motivated me to do the right thing. Don't start what you can't finish. And if you finish it, it will finish you. Really simple. I saw it by revelation. It shined in my mind, my will, my emotions. So even though I physically and my body and my wanted some of that, but when I saw by revelation without experience the consequence, I backed off. Is it clear? You go to Genesis chapter 3 and look at verse 6. You see what happened to Eve was the exact same thing that happened to David. The principles were different, the events were different, but the principle was the same. And the woman saw, what did David see? He saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. What did David see? And a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit of the earth. Can you see? Look at the evolution. She saw. But if she had seen another vision at the same time. If when she was seeing that, when she was seeing that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, had she eaten of the tree of life, she would have seen something else that was superior to what she was seeing, and she wouldn't have touched it. Do you see why you have to walk in the Word of God? By the time I finish this message, I'm going to set you free. I'm talking about overcoming sin by revelation. What you are seeing with your eyes, not these two physical eyes, what you are seeing in your mind is dictating what you are doing. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Contrast Joseph. I spoke about him earlier on today. Here is Joseph in Egypt. No law, no temple, no Bible, nothing. Except what his daddy told him about Jehovah. He took it, not only did he take it serious, he had no book. He had no Bible that he could read in that's reminding him every day. What was reminding him? He kept saying it to himself. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's what he was doing. That was the only thing he had. And the entrance of that word gives light. So it was his mind was constantly being bathed with the light of revelation. So when that woman came to him, and it wasn't one day, go and read the scripture. It was something she kept. That Satan is very persistent. She kept saying it. She kept bombarding that young boy's mind with a temptation to adultery with her. But God, he had something superior. He had the word of God. And that word was in his mind. And he said to her, when it got so bad, and the thing got a grab of her, one day they were alone in the house and all the other people were not around. And that's another message for another day. In fact, it's a message for today. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Never stay alone with a woman in a secluded environment. If you don't, it will not happen. No matter what your body is feeling. That's why the Bible says flee. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, it's just rolling out. Flee from all appearance. I was sharing with some young men recently. I said, he didn't say flee from evil. He said appearance. Appearance. See, that's why God helped me as a young man. I was just a kid. You know, and there were people all around me. But I did, God helped me with two things. I never allowed myself to be alone with a girl in a secluded environment. Even if I was with them, it was always in an open place. Joseph was always with her in the open place. But there was a day, and Satan can't plan that, where there was none of the other men around. So she went from talk to action and held him. She literally was trying to pull him to something. And Joseph said, you don't understand. I'm seeing what you are not seeing. There is nothing in this house that Potiphar has not put under my control. Except you, because you are his wife. He said, I like the words of Joseph. May God help us to see. It's revelation. He said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? He didn't even say Potiphar. He was seeing what God was seeing. It was that revelation that saved him. The Bible says he left the jacket with her and he didn't wait. He didn't bind the devil. he didn't, young people, he didn't speak in tongues. All that won't work under that environment. There's only one in that work. Flee. He just left the environment. Once you're not in the environment, the sin can't happen. We're talking about sexual sin in particular now. But this is true of all sins. You see, sin is something contrary to the will of God. And Satan's job is to try and make it attractive. Revelation makes it unattractive. When you have revelation, what Satan tries to make attractive becomes unattractive. When there is no revelation, it remains attractive. And then it can entice you. And if you give it way, it will conceive. And once it conceives, it becomes sin. And then it becomes, at the point of lust, it's not yet a sin. It only becomes sin when the lust is acted upon and accepted as an act of the will. That's why the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. You know, the Lord himself began to remind me when I was preparing this message. He said, do you remember the woman? He said, I'll give you two women, you know, in the recorded experience of my life. He said, there were many others when I was a young boy. He said, but they're not recorded. He said, but this one I'll tell you. He said, remember the woman, you know, who was the adulteress that had five husbands? He said, remember I was talking to her. He said, remember that none of the disciples were around. They had gone to buy food. He said, remember that when I got there, she was trying to get water. Then the Holy Spirit began to tell me about her. And she began to, you know, I began to say, this water you get is going to... And she was wondering why I was talking to her. He said, but do you notice that I only talk to her in an open environment? I said, yes, Lord. He said, it was an open place. The well is an open... It was open. He said, so there was no temptation the devil could bring that could work. And I was seeing what God was seeing by revelation, the poor spiritual state of this woman in bondage to sin, who had five husbands. She was living in an adulterous relationship, yet she still had a heart for God. So it was her heart I saw, and it was that what I was trying to get at. He gave me a second example. He said, do you remember the place when I was in a guy's house and a woman who came and started washing my feet? I said, with her hair. He said, you didn't disturb me. He said, it was an open place. It was in public. It's a great lesson. I learned this from Billy Graham. And I think Gordon Lindsay. I read it when I was a young Christian. I just kept it. Billy Graham said he had never stayed in a room with a woman who was either not his wife or his daughters. Never. Not in his life, not in his life, alone. So he never fell into adultery. I just heard a story recently. I don't know whether it's true or not. I believe it's true. That he went, Billy Graham, he went to a hotel in a town because he used to preach all over the whole place. So there was a, you know, and he said this was his habit. It's good to have good habits. As he became more and more famous, and you know, Satan was trying to plan to discredit his ministry. So anytime he went to a hotel and they booked a room for him and all of that, he usually would have one of the two of his assistants or his wife or somebody with him, like me. I always went down, gone private. I have Pastor Andrew or one of my pastors or my wife with me, you know. I always have somebody with me, you know. So, and he said he made this a habit that anytime he went to a hotel, probably in a strange town, maybe a place where he has never been before, you know, they would go and check the room first. So after they gave the keys of the room, he wouldn't go into the room first straight. His assistant or his wife would go open the room, make sure everything is okay before he came in. So there was a particular day, this is a true story as far as I know, you know, that Billy Graham went to a particular place, you understand, and they had got the hotel room and everything, but as was his habit, it's good to have good habits, he didn't go into the room alone. He had sent somebody. When there was a naked woman lying on the floor, and there were photographers. You know, everything else will be story. He said or she said. Even if nothing happened, the photograph, the hotel, the woman on the bed, you will not have to do damage control. But because God gave the man of God wisdom, he didn't enter the room. So the other people, I think it was his wife or some reason, they opened the door, they saw the thing, they took the photograph, but the photograph was with people. That's how they try to set up the man of God. You know, people just hate some of us preachers. And they want to do anything to bring you down. Wisdom. principal thing. The Lord told me, he said, all my young days, I never stayed alone with women. So I was just tempted, like, of course he was. The Bible says he was tempted in every way, like as we are. He was a man, you know. Revelation. There's somewhere I'm going with this. Why is this message critical now? Sin, and all sin is bad, but especially sexual sin, can rob you of your inheritance in this hour. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 to 20. There's a reason why God is the Holy Spirit. You know, some weeks ago I preached about, you know, over love, judgment, love, chastening, and I've forgotten of love, rebuke, and chastening. Here today again, God's, you know, because you see, this is something that is particularly being used by the enemy in this generation to try and trap young people and rob them of their destiny. Now, it's true for everybody. Even David wasn't young when he did what he did. He was in his 50s. It was about my age. So, you know, being elderly does not preclude you from temptation. But, you know, the Bible talks about youthful lusts. Why the word youthful? You see, when you're younger, all those hormones and everything are at a much higher level of operation than when you're older. The optimal level. So says the doctor. It's the truth. That's why I said, flee youthful lusts. It's not as if those lusts are not there in the elderly, but they are more in the youthful. And Satan knows something, what I'm about to share with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Please listen to me carefully, and I'm going to tie it with my message filled with all the fullness of God. Just in a second. What? Notice the tone of the Holy Spirit. This is not Paul, who is Holy Ghost using Paul. What? Know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. He's talking about the sexual act. You see, there is a connection of the physical bodies that also become a spiritual connection. That's why I said overcoming sin by revelation. Are you listening to me? There is a connection there that goes beyond a physical act. You see, you don't see that, you only see it as fun. You don't see that, hey, it doesn't really matter. I'm just enjoying myself and I don't mean any harm to anybody. You're deceived. What? The two saith he shall be one flesh. There is a spiritual. He talked about flesh. Flesh is sin nature. Flesh is not, you know, when the Bible says the spirit lost against the flesh, he's not talking about the physical body. He's talking about the sin nature resident in the physical body. So when that act happens, the sin nature from one flows to the other. You know, when you see it as it is, it's no longer attractive. It's when you don't see it by revelation as it is, that it still can entice you. I want to set you free. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Are you listening to me? I'm not preaching condemnation. God forbid, if you fall into this kind of thing, quickly repent and don't go near it again. You know, say, God forgave David. He did it only once. And it is still reverberating till today. His sin was wiped away, but his reproach has not been wiped away. We are still using him to preach 2,000 years, 4,000 years later. It will forever be in the Bible. Whenever saints gather, even in heaven, and people are talking, it will come up. His reproach will never be wiped away. His sin has been wiped away, but not the reproach. David will always, he's one of the things, I'm getting closer and closer to God. God said, it pained me more than any other thing. He said, because David was so close to me. A man after my own heart. He said, he caused my enemies to blaspheme. They said, you're David. Let's tread softly. Don't let's disgrace God. Yeah, God put David on his head, so to speak. In Yoruba line, you know. He said, I found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Now, you Samuel, go to the house of Jesse and anoint me a king. He identified with David. And David messed it up. That's why he's having me preach this to you and I now. We must not mess it up. Are you listening to me? Yes, next verse. Verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Look at how he contrasts it. Here's one flesh sin nature. Here is one spirit divine nature. Kosele mengara na frenegas. Next verse. Flee. Look at the word he used. He didn't even say resist. God didn't say resist it. He said flee it. You know why? God knows how vulnerable the flesh can be. It's like a slippery slope. You get a yoss. So don't even go near the edge. Flee fornication. Or sexual, you know. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. How? When sexual sin takes place, there is a deposit of spiritual death into the physical body. And that is why, remember what I taught about being filled with the fullness of God. It's manifest through one member. God now wants you to manifest through all the members, but you just blocked it. Once you put sin into the thing, God can't move into it. The sin of adultery and fornication, if continued in, will rob you of the fullness of the Spirit without measure. You will never get it. It went very quiet. That's why God had me preach it. It will rob you of it. It will block your members such that the power of the Holy Spirit cannot enter into the members to manifest the glory of God. Scripture. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, witchcraft, etc. They that do or practice these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Notice the word cannot. Now let me put a little bit of slack, because again, the spirit that is operating through me, the Holy Spirit, is not a spirit of condemnation. The spirit wants to help people. I know guys may have fallen and don't feel. You see, there's a difference in a one-off thing and a thing you practice. That's not going to do a one-off. God deal. The Holy Ghost just told me, he said they will soon. They will say, Pastor Lubi say one of four, okay. Pastor Lubi was like, one of four, okay. And what did Holy Ghost? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He knows your number. After listening to this message, one off, we finish you. Because you now have truth. Are you listening to me? No, but seriously, you know, I mean, young Christians, people who just got newly born again, who didn't understand all of these things and they stumbled, you know, that's fine. You know, quickly repent. And then the things I'm teaching this message, put them into practice so that it doesn't happen again. A thing that becomes a habit. They that do these things, the Greek is practice habitually. Give it to me in the Amplified. Give it to me in the Amplified. That do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that it means, you know, that practice them. So you want to stay away because it's dirtying your physical body and is blocking the glory of God. Don't do it. Pastor, how do I overcome? I already told you in a nutshell, but I'm going to repeat it and then I'm going to tell you a few other things. You know, I can use my life as an example. I'm not perfect. It's not as if I'm not being tempted. I've been sorely tempted over the years, you know, as a young man, as a pastor, in so many different situations, you know. I don't want to give examples because they're not necessary and I don't want to, you know. But the important thing is this. God help me to keep those principles. Flee. Don't move with a woman in a secluded place and the principles of prayer and walking in the Spirit. Those things help me tremendously. So that even in my circumstances and in my environment, I even for Satan to even try and create the situation becomes impossible. And that's what you need to do as a young man and a young woman too. I'm going to see a guy in the middle of the night and say you came to share. You know, I just feeling bad. I come and say hi to you and just check you up. Are you okay? You know, if I want you to escape the scripture to me. And the time you could come is in the night, when he's alone in his room. You couldn't share the scripture in the. Our daughters of the East Country. You could not ask him in church when everybody was around. You didn't go to Pastor Bega. You didn't go to Pastor Gule when the whole church is here. It was that brother in the middle of the night in his house alone. That's when you remember that you want to go and share scripture. Can you not see that it's a lie in your right hand? That's how the devil deceives people. And you know, devil convince her that she's being, her motives are altruistic. Whereas, Satan knows where he's going. You get there, you won't talk scripture for 2 minutes. It'll be something else. Exactly. He says he went the way of a house. A young man without understanding, without revelation. Hallelujah. He went the way of her house. That means, that doesn't just mean, you know, Aula or Rude, Bodija. You understand? It means any circumstance that can put you there. Don't go that way. He says, avoid it. Pass by it. Don't even go near it. Pastor, we mustn't be over this day. Be over? That's what's kept me. The Holy Spirit kept me. You know, I don't counsel women alone. I don't stay alone. Women don't come to my office and counsel. I don't do all that nonsense. If you want to counsel, you counsel with my wife. You know, and that's how you find out whether they really what they want. The other one talk to your wife, like, this one's not looking for. There's something else they are looking for. Hello, somebody. These are simple, practical instructions. You know, I got to close. But I must not leave this message. So it will on one hand, it can rob you of the spirit without measure being made manifest through your physical body. And that's how it's manifest. If you continue in it, and I say that, you know, guardedly with the mercy of God, you know, the younger you are as a Christian, the less experienced you are, the more mercy and grace is extended towards you, because most people don't know. In fact, Pastor Boyega, how many times have you heard this kind of message preached? When last you open TBN or Daystar and you hear anybody preach like this? And yet, we need to preach it to our young people so that they will know how to overcome sin. Nobody talks about this. You know why? The pastors and sisters are doing it. So nobody wants to talk about it. Because once you start talking about sin like this, everybody gets uncomfortable. Imagine, God forbid, if I was a pastor who was committing adultery, you think I could preach this? I would not have the boldness. I just talk about 10 steps to success. And motivational message, how your business can soar. Nobody talks about this. I can talk about it boldly by the mercy and the grace. I'm not better than other people. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm not speaking from a holier-than-thou attitude. God forbid. You know, but so that God can help you. If you have made a mistake, God will have mercy. He will help you. But stop it. Now, adultery and fornication is not something you just do on the road. It's not like a wrong thought of, you know, you are praying from life scripture and then your mind wandered. That one is, you know, it's bad, but you can clean with the blood of Jesus. This is one of the ones you can also clean with. But it's not something that can just happen. There are so many barriers you have to cross. You can't do it on the road. So you have to go and look for a place and seclude and all of that. But all that step, the Holy Ghost will say, you have to break so many laws before you can get there. So that's why God does not take kindly to it. Because it's something that you could avoid if you want to. Are you listening to me? It's not an easy thing, you know. I heard somebody say this years ago. It was an elderly man. He was talking to his children, you know, and he was telling them that, you know, I don't even know if he was born again, but at least he was a good man, you know. I think he got born again later on, you know. And he was telling them, you know, how he's been faithful to his wife and all that. He said, you know, and he talked about some of his colleagues, you know, who had girlfriends and had affairs outside. He said, you know, he said the wahala is too much. That's revelation. You know why? He said you have to lie, plan, find out how you are going to meet the person, and you know, go to one town or somewhere where nobody knows you. You know, the amount of logistics. That has to, the wahala of the logistics, or you have to get to do the thing, is more than the enjoyment. So forget it. Give the Lord a clap offering. You're not worth it. You're not worth it. The wahala you would do is too much. And then, you know, you don't even know who saw you. The phone rings, your heart is like, I say, honey, where were you last night? Praise the Lord. Well, we just went for one prayer meeting somewhere. You're wrong. Lie upon lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. It will weigh your heart down and ultimately destroy you. The wahala is not worth it. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. But I'm not done yet. You can trust me. The second reason, which I touched on the last time, is that all sin, but in particular sexual sin, affects the environment. I'm going to revisit Leviticus 18. This time I'm going to start from verse 1. You know, that day I zeroed in homosexualism. But this thing is not only homosexual. That one is very bad. But all of it is bad. Leviticus chapter 18. Give it to me in Message. All this, you know, the King James is too obscure. Let's say the way it is. God spoke to Moses. Verse 2. Speak to the people of Israel. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is talking to you and I. Somebody said, this Old Testament, don't be stupid. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's probably for rebuke and instruction in righteousness. Don't give me that nonsense. Speak to the people of Israel and tell them, I am God, your God. Verse 3. Don't live. He's talking to the church. He's talking to you and I. Don't live like the people of Egypt where you used to live. Remember before you got born again? Have 5 girlfriends. Tell all of them lies. Hello? Hello? You know, God has had mercy on my life. Oh, I say this to the glory of God. Even as an unbeliever, before I became a Christian, when we were in UI, I still remember. You know, I have some of my friends. You have one in Queens Hall. You have one in India. This week you go out with that one. Oh God. You know, I'm telling them lies and all of that. So one day I was discussing with guys, you know, some of my friends and all that. I said, hey boys, I said, this thing you are doing is not good. I was a Christian, no. But you know, heart, honesty of heart. I asked one of my friends, I said, you know, we were saying in Yoruba, I said, man, look, she girl you buy now. You know, how are you doing this girl like this now? I said, if she was your sister, do you know that's what I said? I said, if she was your sister, would you like them to do that to you? You see, Boboko nice near Joe. You know, you're just a nice guy. You know, he was a good guy, good for nothing. You know, and I said, you know, you won't want that son to do that to your sister. I said, so don't do it to her. You know, even as an unbeliever, I said, what I won't want you to do to my sister, I won't do to you. I won't tell you a lie. Tell you the truth. You know, I believed in all of those things even before I became a Christian. Fidelity, honesty, you know, don't deceive people and all of that. Because for the simple law, do unto your neighbor as you want to do. Yeah, if I don't want you to do it to my sister, why would I do it to you? And you know, God saw that heart. And God saved me. Don't live like the people of Egypt where you used to live. And don't live like the people of Canaan where I'm bringing you. Don't do what they do. Church, wake up. This is the house of God. This is not Egypt. Are you listening to me? Next verse. Obey my laws and live by my decrees. I am your God. Verse 5. Keep my decrees and laws. The person who obeys them lives by them. I am God. Next verse. Don't have sex with a close relative. You know, people always are afraid. It's not me who wrote it. It's Moses who wrote it. Hello? But it's inapplicable today. We need to preach this. There is so much nonsense going on in the church. It will amaze you. Don't have sex with a close relative. I am God. Verse 7. Don't violate your father by having sex with your mother. She is your mother. Don't have sex with her. Wait. You know, you are Africans. But if it could not happen, why would God put it in the Bible? It happens. But we're not done yet. Next verse. Very quiet. Don't have sex with your father's wife. She may not be your mother, but she may be your father. That violates your father. We haven't got homosexualism. See, this thing is not just homosexuals. This is a big problem. Next verse. Don't have sex with your sister, whether she's your father's daughter or your mother's, whether she was born in the same house or elsewhere. See how God covered all the bases. That's why the Bible is a legal document. Okay, you know, I didn't know she was my sister, and she was, you know, she was born in London, I was born in Nigeria, and you know, she's not really my sister, she's my mother's sister, and I. This thing is not uncommon in the UK and the US. It's not on. I didn't say it's common. It's not uncommon. They happen, especially when it comes half brother, half sister. I'm not done yet. How many want to go home? So, like a repetition. Emikoni Morami. I didn't send myself. You know, I've told you. You know, I serve you, but I'm not your servant. I'm God's servant. What he told me, I will preach. You like it, you don't like it. Don't about you like it. Enjoy any choice. Next verse. Don't have sex with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. Sound familiar? That would violate your own body. Sometimes we wonder where all this wahala comes from. This is it. Ah, Pastor Bega. Next verse. Don't have sex. Open your mouth. With the daughter of your father's wife, born to your father, she is your sister. God didn't even say half sister. Even though it's half. Next verse. Don't have sex with your father's sister. She is your aunt, closely related to your father. But God isn't through yet. Next verse. Don't have sex with your mother's sister. She is your aunt and closely related to your mother. Next verse. Don't violate your father's brother, your uncle, by having sex with his wife. She is your aunt. Detail. You know why God is spelling it out? So that nobody can say, I didn't know. Next verse. Don't have sex with your daughter-in-law, for she is your son's wife. Come on, Shanua. Tiobashle Shele, Oloni ko. If it cannot happen, God will not write it. Don't have sex with her. Next verse. Don't have sex with your brother's wife, for that will violate your brother. She will not be blood relation to you, but she, because she's married to your brother, there is a connection. What did Herod do? Who killed John the Baptist? Herodias. Who was she? She was the wife of his brother. You don't understand. Herod was king. In those days, kings had the power of life and death. She took his brother's wife. It wasn't a one time, and forget it. You know, open adultery. She was sitting with him in the court of the king. Yes. He was his brother's wife. He married her. He took her, started having sex with her, and she was sitting with him as queen, and they were ruling in Jerusalem with impunity. Sound familiar? John the Baptist. This is wrong. Herod, bad as he was, he still had some fear of God. He knew that what John the Baptist said, because he knew the scripture. So he just... It was the woman. Ah! It was the woman. She was the real... You know, left with Herod, because he knew John was a holy man. It was Herodias. How can he talk to you like that? You are the king. Where did this silly prophet come from? Let's kill him. Ah. Herod said, I can't do that. He runs you along. I can't do that. You know what? Let's put him in prison. We just put him in prison. At least he wouldn't be talking to anybody. So he made a compromise. And he put him in, because he really didn't, you know. Then Satan planned. You see, brethren, call on Shanua. And God help us to do the right thing. It's a slippery slope. This woman had a daughter. The same laws. A small girl. When I say small, not small, low. She was a teenager. Maybe 17, 18. She was still... She danced. The same lust he had for the mother, he passed it to the daughter. That's what happened, Pastor Wega. As the girl was doing like this, and... The guy, he lost his sense. Satan entered and said, he wanted to sleep with her, the stupid man. He said, ask me anything you want. Why was he asking, saying that? He wasn't saying that just because he liked the dance. He had projected. If I give her, she will... Under the nose of her mother. Ask me anything you want of the half of my kingdom. Stupid man. Stupid man. She goes to her mother. This was the opportunity that one was looking for. Horrible woman. There are some women you shouldn't marry. Don't marry Job's wife. Don't marry Potiphar's wife. And don't marry Herod's wife. When you are praying, say, Father, is this Potiphar's wife? Brethren, I'm not hearing the guy say, yes, praise God. As you are praying, he tells him, Father, is this Job's wife? Is she going to turn out to be Potiphar's wife? Or is she going to turn out to be Herod's wife? Three women you should never go near. Horrible people. She said, tell him, you want the head of John the Baptist. Because he rebuked her. She was the one who was feeling, you know, Herod was a funny guy. You know, left to Herod, you'd have freed John the Baptist. And the stupid man. Stupid. Said the king was sorry. He said, but because of his oath. And then he said it in public, in front of other dignitaries, he would not deny her. That's how John the Baptist lost his head. Because of disobedience to Leviticus 18. I'm not done yet. Next verse. don't have sex with both a woman and her daughter. God is detailing it. I'm going to get somewhere and we're going to close. Don't have sex with her granddaughters either. They are her close relatives. That is wicked. I'm not done yet. Don't marry your wife's sister as a rival and have sex with her while your wife is living. You know, it's good to read the Bible. These are the kind of scripture, and when you like one car, people don't go near this kind of scripture. Everybody just stays with Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of I'll stay with nice scriptures like, my God shall supply all my need, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, praise thou, you know, cast your cares upon the waters and they will come. Nice scriptures. But you must read it. Because all scripture is for instruction in righteousness. And this is what scripture is talking about. At that time, the New Testament hadn't been written. It was being written, but it hadn't been written. Next verse. Don't have sex with a woman during her time of menstrual period when she is unclean. There are even medical reasons for this. God's not stupid. I don't want to go there. That will be done when you are doing pastoral counseling. Don't go there. It is medically, it can get into problems. God's not stupid. Next verse. Don't have sex. Now he brings it out now with your neighbor's wife. Now this is now open. This now applies to everybody. The other one was close relatives. Now he's saying any woman who is not your wife. And thank you, Kule. Violate yourself by her. You know why? Every sin a man commits is without the body. But when then you sin against the body. So you are violating your own body and cutting yourself off from the spirit without measure. All the way in the Old Testament. Next verse. Don't give any of your children to be burned in sacrifice to the God of Molech. An act of sheer blasphemy of your God. I am your God. There's an argument to this about abortion and all of that. I won't go into that, you know, but anything that sacrifices children, do you know, even in Nigeria, people sell their children for money. I was reading the papers recently, somebody sold a baby for 200,000. They take parts of the babies. They kill the babies and take the hearts, take the liver to go and make rituals. Next verse. Say, Pastor Lubi, why are we reading all of this? Because it's the Bible. I want it to stick in your mind. You know, after this message, you will never forget. Anytime that's exactly what, that's my job. So once you don't remember, Pastor. Don't have sex with a man as one does with a woman. That is abhorrent. We're now getting to the next verse. Don't have sex with an animal and violate yourself by it. I told you what we saw in Canada during the summer. My wife and I, true story. We were with some brethren. We had gone across to America, you know, the Niagara Falls. So we went across. You could drive across from Canada to America. And we just went, you know, just to have a few hours, and then we drove back to Canada. We were staying in Canada in a hotel. The hotel could just see the Niagara Falls, and I could see America from the hotel. Anyway, and we were in the park. I saw a dog with a person. And the dog was doing a funny movement. I said, honey. I said, Sherry got in Morisha. I said in Yoruba, so nobody will hear what I'm saying. He said, ah, Morio, Ogao. And the people who are with us, they're Yoruba people too. Ah, only pastor. He had a cover over him. You know, there was something happening because the dog was used to doing it. A woman must not have sex with an animal. That is perverse. I'm going to read the punchline in a minute. Don't pollute. Now, this is the punchline. Don't pollute yourselves with some. Any of these ways. Where do we start from? Close relatives. Then we went to your neighbor's wife. Before we now crossed into homosexualism and bestiality. So any of them, close relative, any other woman who is not your wife, homosexuality, bestiality, all of them will pollute you. I have to give the message comprehensively. All of them. This is how the nations became polluted. The ones I am going to drive out of the land before you. Next verse. I'm going to stop here. You know, Pastor Wally said I shouldn't stop, but I will stop. I know when. Even the land itself became polluted, and I punished it for its iniquities. The land vomited up its inhabitants. Do you notice all sin is bad, but God zeroed in on sexual sin? Sexual sin has two effects. It has an effect on your own body, and then it has an effect on the environment that will make it vomit you out. If I got to close, if that revelation stays in your mind, it will become unattractive. So when the devil, you don't remember. You will remember. This is folly. If David had the Holy Spirit was just able to give him an inkling, this thing you want to do, it's going to cost you 4 sons. And look at what happened to the nation. Do you know David would have backed off? He would have. I'm going to close. So how do you do this? How do you overcome this thing? By the blood, the word, and the spirit. You know, these are things we know already. You know, I'm just going to quickly summarize. You understand? You. Revelation is light from your spirit. And you maintain that light by the blood, the word, and the spirit. You constantly, that's why he said, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. But you will meditate in it day and night. For the entrance of his word giveth light. So long as you keep saying God's word and praying in the spirit, light will continue to come to your mind. So you will constantly see by revelation the folly of sin. So when temptations to sin come, you will have revelation in your mind that will make the sin unattractive and also give you the power to overcome the sin. And so you flee from all appearances of evil. I'm going to close with this thought. It's a great thought. It's a beautiful thought. It's all along this line. How many people know that Paul wasn't married? No, Paul wasn't married. It wasn't that he couldn't marry. There was nothing wrong with Paul. I'm talking about physically as a man. He said, don't we have power to lead about a sister? Paul was not. He wasn't a eunuch. Are you listening to me? he made it by choice. Check this out, Kunle. Who wrote the most extensive revelation on marriage? Who wrote 1 Corinthians 7? Who wrote Ephesians 5? How can a guy who never experienced, he was never married. How can Paul, who was not married, be giving counsel to those who are married? He did it by revelation. What he had by revelation was superior to whatever they were experiencing. So he could see. He said, husband, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. He was in that situation, but he could see by revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, don't deny yourselves. Come together, except it be for fasting and prayer. Lest Satan tempt you for incontinency. He wasn't in that situation. How did he know? By revelation. When you begin to operate by revelation like Paul, hallelujah, married or not married, you'll be able to live above these sins because you will see things the way God sees them and you will overcome it. Amen. Let us pray. Talk to God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Overcoming sin by revelation. Every day, eat of the tree of life. So you will have fresh revelation in your mind. When the light starts getting dim, get back into the word and prayer. And increase the intensity of the light in your mind. And you know, you and I know. You know, you get up in the morning, you pray very well. You're living above everything. And then suddenly by afternoon, everything starts going down, you know. And your mind starts accepting things that it normally would not accept. Amen. You need a booster. In the booster. Second stage booster. Hallelujah. You pray again. That's why this prayer thing does not end in the closet. The closet lays the foundation. Then on that foundation you keep praying. Pray, watch and pray always. Lest you enter into temptation. But if you're watching and praying always, you constantly have light in your mind. Temptation will no longer be attractive. You will see where Satan is coming from. And you just laugh at him in his face. Hallelujah. Paul had that. Paul was a young man. Virile man. But he saw something beyond sex. He saw something beyond this physical something. And he made up his mind because of the work God had given him. That's not to say we shouldn't marry. I'm married. You know. But he made up his mind. He's going to serve God. I pressed toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling, revelation. Paul was living light years ahead. He was seeing things the way God sees them. He was seeing things the way Jesus saw them. And so he was able to say, he said, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. Lest, after preaching to others, I myself be disapproved. He saw it by revelation. And that revelation motivated him to a life of purity. If you will learn to live by revelation, you will live a pure life. He that had this hope in him purified himself. Why aren't people purifying themselves? No hope. No revelation. Where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. If you look at it, it says where there is no vision. Where there is no revelation. Give it to me. Proverbs. Where's that scripture? Proverbs, what is it? I've forgotten the particular this thing. Where there is no vision, the people pay. I think it's Proverbs 20 something. 29:8. Proverbs. Quick. 29:18. Give it to me in the Amplified. Where there is no vision or no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. See, when you have revelation, you begin to see things the way God sees it. Then when sin presents itself, you will have an alternative, and then you can see that the alternative is better than what the sin is presenting, and you will go for God, and you will not enter temptation. The reason why people are falling in temptation is because they don't have a vision. You overcome sin by revelation. Talk to God. Ever let it be.
I will praise you, ever let it be that I
Hallelujah.
Ever let it be.
Ever let it be. That I would love you. Never let there be any gods above you.
Ever let it be. Let it be.
That I would sing your praise.
Ever let it be. Start again from the beginning. Loves us so much. He wants to preserve us. It is not His will that any of us miss this glory that is about to happen. And He's showing you things to come. With the glory will come power. With the glory will come riches. With the glory will come fame. With the glory will come women. With the glory will come men. The Lord said to me, and as we pray, I want to have it at the back of our minds. what happened with David and Solomon must not repeat itself in this generation. He said, I stretched myself out for David. I stretched myself out for Solomon. But they caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. That is why I'm preparing you. And I'm telling you these things. It's not only just now. Even after the glory, buried anointing. All fame, money, popularity, blessings. But you must see by revelation, so you don't cause God's name to be blasphemed by using your influence and your power and your position to do evil, like David did and like Solomon did. Because a greater than Solomon is here. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, especially sins of sexual immorality, to clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you brought to me this afternoon, reminding and showing me afresh that I can and should overcome sin by revelation knowledge. Oh God, have mercy on me. Give me fresh revelation of light, of life, of righteousness, so I will see by revelation the wickedness, the foolishness, the futility and the folly of sin, particularly sexual sin. So I will overcome it, I will avoid it, I will flee from it, so that I will avoid it, Lord God, so that the members of my body will be able to carry and manifest your glory and the power of the Spirit without measure. Oh God, have mercy on me. 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 To be faithful. To live a life of purity like Joseph. To live a life of diligence like Daniel. To glorify you, to honor you with my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body, so that this generation will see a company of people that will be greater than David, greater than Solomon, that will show forth your glory with the purity of Joseph. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Lapakatolo mashotofri. Likatofri ningardolo mashtufris. Zikatolo mashalakar. Zelepakatolo mashala. Lambrikatofridis. Liprenamatolo mashangar. Lombrikitolo masho. Lambrakamatolo matufri dufrishi. Zelepikatofri defresh. Lombrikitolo matolo mashofres. Zifridia. Lombrigi tolo mashali, yekito, lambrakama tolo matolo matufri dufri dufreshi. Tolo matofria, lambrakama tolo mashakaka, tokroma tolo matufri dufri shengaras, lambrakama tolo masho, tolo matufri dufri shekaka, tolo matufri ingar tolo mashaka, lambrakamara, tolo tufrines, langaras, tolomaras, jikito fres, lombridias, tolomaras. Shiki tu fris, nombre dis, tu lomars, shiki tu fris, nombre delas, tu finis, longer dolos, tu finis, langaratus, zephias, tu lomaras, tu finis, longer dusk. In Jesus' name. Keep your hand on your body, raise the other hand to God. We're just going to pray a brief prayer for our healing. Healing and health is something you don't just pray about when you are sick. So you pray about it when you're feeling okay. Because it starts at the subatomic, genetic, cellular level. And if we nip it in the bud at that level, it will never rise to the surface. And that's why we pray these prayers. You not only pray them when we're in church like this, you pray them privately. You have a headache or you feel something in your body. First thing, first line of action is prayer. then go and see the doctor, take medicine and whatever else. The medicine will only break chemical bonds, biochemical, pharmacological bonds that will try and correct something at the a cellular atomic level. But you can set those things into operation from the spiritual realm, so that by the time the drugs come in, everything is already lined up and the drugs work properly. Very important. Just like sin will disturb your body from carrying the glory, so will sickness. So will sickness. There's tied with a short rope. The same time Jesus paid for the sin, he paid for the sicknesses, because God knew that both of them would disturb his glory. That's why you should attack sickness the same way you attack sin, by revelation. And when it comes, resist it and release the life of God into your physical members, which will become medicine to all your flesh. Touch that body, raise the hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief in accepting sickness. And we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. We say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, we are healed and we live in divine healing and health. We release resurrection, life and power that is medicine to our flesh, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, into our heart, kidneys, liver, all our blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in our bodies, to correct errors at the DNA level, to correct our immune system, so that we will stay strong and healthy. So we keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Zelika kuklomatulo, lambrika tofris, lumbridia, nungar tolomatulo makoko, tolomatulo matufri dofri dofrishi. Sefridio, lambrika tolomatulo mangars, lambrika tolomatulo matufrish, tuklomatulo malubri dofri dofrishi. Lambrika tolo, lambrika tofri dofri, lambrika tofrines, nofrines, dolomoshalakaras, tofridias, langar dolos. Zifridios, Zofrineles, Angar Toros, Tufrinis, Angaras, Shikitofrinelas, Ombrdelas, Tufrinis, Tolomangaras, Tufrides, Langitofre, Ombrdofres. In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody as we take the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The long life of God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to the neighbor and say, you overcome sin by fresh and increasing revelation daily. God bless you. Have a great week. Sorry.